So welcome to Grannskapspodden. We are here in Sigtuna. My name is Harald Karlsen, and together with me in studio here in Charlottenburg, we have Nick.
Yo, hi guys, and welcome to House of Story in Charlottenburg. And furthermore, we have Paulina.
Hello, Paulina.
Hello.
Nice to see you here. And we have Ludwig.
Yes, hello. Nice to be here.
Thank you. And it's a beautiful summer day. We also have DJ Maitan with us in the room, but he's on silent microphone for the moment.
Hello, guys.
So we will not hear you. But today we will talk about some important stuff about neighborhood development. And we are with Nick here about art and healing was something you...
In that direction. Yeah, today this program we're going to talk a little bit, focusing on the function and possibility of using art as a tool for neighborhood building of social sustainability, maybe even, and the healing possibilities within that. And we have a few examples of that that we want to connect to, which actually connects to local Sigtuna, where we're at, but could actually work also on a larger scale, regional, national, international.
Mm-hmm. And Paulina, where are you from?
I'm from Ukraine, Chernihiv city. It's not far from Kyiv.
It's important with neighborhood development today.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's true. And Ludwig, you are from?
I'm here from House of Story as well, Sigtuna.
A lot of stories.
Yes.
And I live in Sollentuna and Norway, so I'm connecting between Norway and Sweden. And Nick, you are also living here in Sigtuna now? Mostly?
Mostly, yeah. I fly a little bit in and out.
Congratulations.
Both physically and mentally. But definitely here.
But you are in the art.
Yeah.
You are art, or?
Well, kind of arty personality, maybe. I'm writing on a book, Forever and Ever, and one of my favorite characters is called Arty, because he is arty. But we have a lot of things coming in here into the house. We actually have the skeletons, the bare skeletons of a scenography in my garden now. I'm very grateful for the sun. So we have this extra studio and many other projects. Yeah.
And Paulina, you are here for some reasons.
Unfortunately, for the reason of Russian invasion to Ukraine, I came here just 22nd of April. So first month of civil war I spent in my country. Mm. And I'm happy to be here.
Mm. You have a good English education.
This year I finished my university. I'm a teacher of English and world literature.
Thank you. That's so nice to have you here. And Ludwig, what are you doing?
Yes, I am also starting my last year now at the Royal College of Music in Stockholm, where I play the viola classical department. That's really nice.
What are your plans for the future?
That's a good question. I want to do projects play with people in orchestra or chamber music and do my own things.
Great. And I'm a freelance journalist here in Sweden, and I'm based in Norway and here. And today, I think we have had one podcast earlier today, and together 10 podcasts in 1 week. So it was very intensive. But the main theme here is neighborhood development in an international scale and national and local. The neighborhood is very... vague. It's many definition of our neighborhood. Nick, what is your definition of our neighborhood?
Well, neighborhood in my world is very close to a village. 'Tis said that it takes a village to raise a child, but the village boundaries no longer exists or are not so visible, in particular when we have cities growing in size, and we lose that connection. And maybe also actually in smaller societies or like villages, small cities today, how much do we actually connect and interrelate to each other? Because we're bound on our, we sit there on our little phones or we close our doors. And so where and when do we meet in the common market space to care for joint interests and share values, ideas? So for me, I mean, I have several neighborhoods here. I was just checking in on the local neighborhood here of Charlottenburg, and we are connected via Facebook. So how much do we actually meet? Not so much and often, but there is a small community, which is then on a digital arena in this sense, even though we physically are here. And of course, Sigtuna is another one. Märsta or Sigtuna kommun municipality is of course divided between Märsta and Sigtuna, so there are different sort of notions of neighborhoods. But I think also for me, when we talk about neighborhoods, it can also be groups of people that you connect with. It's the extended family on different themes, which are also our neighborhoods. Around this table now, we have a couple of young artists. Paulina, you said you are a teacher, but you have also been working a lot with theater. You are a very happy painter and poet, etc. As for Ludde, who's then musician mainly, and so is DJ here on our side. And you are working with text as kind of your creative media.
You have everything.
I potter about a little bit with everything. So I'm what's the saying here? Looking at you and I, DJ, is a jack of many trades, master of none, kind of.
Paulina, you come from a large city, Kiev, in this area, in Ukraine.
I live not in Kiev, actually.
Outside?
Outside Kiev, I live in 100 kilometers, a bit more. And neighborhood is a pretty big problem now. Not just in the context of Russian invasion, but in general. Usually being neighbors, it means like to say hello to each other and smile sometimes. And usually overcome some problems connected with the living near each other. But in a context of war, this neighborhood became a different thing. Now being neighbors in Ukraine means to help each other and to be close to each other, just to understand each other's problem and overcome them. Not like a one family overcome their problem, second family overcome their, but overcome them together.
Because you are in dire stress now in your country. And many countries have stress. There are a lot of countries who have more stress, the environment stress and a kind of war.
Absolutely.
So do you feel a challenge now after the months going on with war?
I still feel myself kind of stressed because I'm here for a lot of time, but I'm still reading news. I still have my family in Ukraine. That's why it's not easy to explain yourself that you're safe and you're okay. But I'm still afraid of loud sounds, and people who live with me know that. Actually, it's airport near. And sometimes it's strange to see the airplanes because I heard their sounds in a different context.
You have been in the middle of it, war zone.
Unfortunately, when invasion started, I heard a lot of stuff like airplanes and that.
That's great. So neighborhood is something important in our life, and we are a part of it. And we cannot escape from the neighborhood in some context. Ludwig, you have also some experience in this area.
Yes, I am a native Swede, not a native, but I mean, I have lived here all my life. And I think in Sweden, we're pretty isolated many times, and it's pretty sad. And I think it comes from being such an individualistic country, and everyone wants to make money and be independent. And so I recently was in the south of Italy, and there they don't have as much money usually, so they have more of a stronger community with the family, and everyone lives with the family for a long time. And it was a really interesting to see that, the difference, and everyone was so happy and kind and helped everyone, even though they don't have so much money to give. But that makes them even more generous, I think. So that's kind of an interesting dilemma there.
And with art and with music and culture and poetry and writing, we can do something together with the neighbors.
Thank you, Harald. I would like to ask Pauline a question. But before I do, I want to give an appreciation. In my life, it's only been 70 years so far, I have asked this question to a lot of people. What do you love to do? And every time, 100% of the time, the answer is always some kind of an art. It doesn't matter if they're a banker, if they're a doctor, if they're a lawyer, if they're a construction worker. There's what they, when you ask the question, what do you love to do? It's always some kind of an art. And I was been very curious about this. And I related, thought about some experiences of I've had as a youth. I'm a musician. And as a youth, during a very stressful period of going to school and dealing with career building and everything, I would often go out into the woods and just play, just improvise for hours. And I felt during that period and afterwards a very strong feeling that I was connected to my inner self, and I was connected to a creative process. And I was able through this to be able to gain perspectives that I needed in my everyday life to deal with things. And so I want to ask you, Pauline, do you feel that you're in a stressful life of being a refugee from Ukraine and what you're dealing with in Ukraine, that through your art, that you are able to feel this connection with your inner self, and you're able to feel this connection with the creative process, and therefore able to find perspectives that are meaningful for your everyday life?
Just to summarize a little bit, DJ here is reconnecting to his own life, having been working with the arts for mere 70 years and only seen a little bit of it, but still within that, having met people from all kinds of background, feeling that that question, what brings joy and love to your life, always ends up in some kind of art form, or that people really connect to the art, providing meaning in life. So that's something that you would like us to touch a little bit more on?
That's a very important question about how we can develop ourselves and a connection with the art and the neighborhood.
I experienced pretty stressful situation, very stressful. And when I came here to Sweden, when I felt myself more or less safe, I started to paint. I painted before, but not like in a serious way. But now I'm trying to make my own project with a painting eco bags. So it's like a new hobby, which I experienced because of my stress. And I can say that it helps. The same I can say about the poetry. Because usually, Harald, you know that work with the text is usually a pretty interesting thing, and you put your feelings into it, if it's just text or it's a poetry. But when you write in poetry in this situation, it's a bit different, because your feelings are like more sensitive. You're more sensitive, and that's why it's going better. Unfortunately, the topics of this poetry are not so positive, but maybe it's natural when a person trying to express their feelings and get rid of that stress.
And if I can just chip in and clarify a little bit there, when you talk about painting, you're actually painting now fabric bags. You call them eco bags, so the question is what you're going to call them, we'll see. But these are personalized bags that you actually have people ordering, coming in with wishes. So we're more or less getting daily requests now on new bags coming in for you to paint them. So I think it both feels a very strong process for you to be creative and rest in that, connecting to your question there, DJ, but also then giving something of value for somebody else, which is personalized. Second, I was just thinking to what you said, interestingly, when you talk about your poetry, and like Speaking Our Hearts, you used to write in Russian, but now because of the situation, you've started to write and writing poetry only in Ukrainian.
Yeah, that's true about the poetry, but that's not fully right that you said. I started writing Ukrainian and Russian a bit earlier, but now I just left only Ukrainian language because today the language question is one of the most important because it's Ukrainian identity. And I think it's true to make such an important part of a life as an art on native language. About the bags, I'm still thinking about the name, what I want, and last days I have a brainstorm about it as I'm gonna make my shop on Instagram. But last time I'm getting some orders for personalized bags. It's a different symbols. It's also bags to support Ukraine, like with the symbols of Ukraine, the words like Save Ukraine and that stuff. So I asked of one of my friends, she's Sweden, Linda, to post on Facebook that I'm doing that and if someone will be interested. And people were interested, so for now I got more than 10 orders, and for the last days it's 3. And also I started my TikTok. I thought it's a good platform for getting some orders, and that's true.
That's great. So you have started a process from art, from with origin in war. You have started a creative process to survive
yes.
in no sense.
Yeah, I think that it helped me not to fall into depression. Because when, after this stressful situation, you feel yourself calm, it feels very strange. And when you are making yourself to do something, it makes you leave and continue. Like, now you're stressful about if the bag will be good. But of course, I'm still nervous about my family and this. And of course, I'm gonna provide some art into like even Sweden society to help people, to give them my messages. And of course, I'm making my signature on each bag.
So we are, before Nick here, we are in different neighborhoods, and you take your roots with you to a new neighborhood here in Sweden. You are from your neighborhood in Ukraine to Sigtuna here. You have moved here for a while.
Yes, maybe. But I noticed that in mental way, Swedes and Ukrainians are pretty close. It's even connected with a national cuisine, the same food we eat in, and that's why it's pretty comfortable to live together in always. Also, here in the House of Stories live pretty communicative people who are the same as me, and that's why it's pretty good. But in general, looking at people from Sweden, I can say that I'm pretty close to them in mental way. Like, I'm pretty calm and it's okay. Of course, there are some rules and things which I came with. But of course, as I'm in a different country, I'm trying to play on the rules of this country. And it's correct, I think.
Thanks. I want to reconnect to that because it's interesting when we talk about neighborhood, but also neighbors. I think we have this, and we're going to talk a little bit more about a solidarity project in a little while. And it feels kind of like Ukraine suddenly become our neighbors. And I think for many countries around Europe, suddenly Ukraine is our neighbor, and we want to support, and out of that comes a lot of solidarity projects. But I want to touch back a little bit just to Lude here when we talk, we have the international perspective, because you've just come back from Italy and you shared some little bits of that. You have, there were two things I thought about that you told me about previously, something called couch surfing, like from a neighborhood perspective, how can you live and stay with other people? And also maybe when we talked about identity, I would like to hear a little bit about the margarita story, the pizza story, when we talk about Italiano identity and how that could build like a national neighborhood.
Okay, yes. Yeah, so Couchsurfing is an app that I recently found out, where you can stay with strangers for free on their couch or in their living room or in the spare bedroom. So I tried it now with my partner we're in Italy, and we messaged some people, and because we wanted to get closer into the city and also to get the local experience a bit more. So we found not an Italian but an American who were living there, and he was a military guy and really cool, so really generous. So we stayed with him for 3 nights, and he took us on hiking and took us to all of his favorite pizza restaurants, because the Napoli city is famous for its pizza, and they were the origin of the pizza. And you wanted to know about Margherita, and yeah, that was the first pizza, the original pizza with the three colors of the Italian flag, the green, white and red, consisting of pomodoro, tomato and mozzarella cheese and basil leaves. And yeah, there was, it's named after the Italian queen of Margherita, I think, when she was visiting in France, and she was the sister of Marie Antoinette. Mm-hmm. And she was there, and her chef, he made her like 3 pizzas, and one of them was this Margherita pizza with the 3 colors of the flag, and she loved it so much that she made it the national dish of Italy. And ever since, pizza is like the most famous food of Italia. So yeah,
from food to neighborhood again, and I think that's important. I think many neighborhoods have their own traditional foods, like in Ukraine and Norway and Sweden and America. We have delicious food in different neighborhoods, and I think the neighbors would have many things in common, and the most common thing is that there are humans in the neighborhood, and that we are learning from each other, that we are visiting each other, and that we have a new neighbors. We have Ukraine. I haven't had any reflection about Ukraine until now, recently, the few months we have had this war situation. So this is new, and that gives us also new neighbors. We have visitors, and we have new neighborhoods developed. And this is important for me, how we can increase the collaboration. And DJ, you had something to say here.
I just wanted to elaborate a little bit on what I'm hearing in this discussion. First of all, this concept of neighborhood, a lot of people try to categorize it. It's only one thing. It's what I like to see it as a process where people getting together, both physically, that can be close by physically, but I also find a neighborhood, as Nick was describing, is more of a network of contacts, network of friends. If I was going to describe my neighborhood, it's the whole world, because I have friends everywhere, and I'm in constant contact with them every day on my social network. Because of social networking, it's possible to be in contact with anybody instantaneously anywhere in the world. So for me, it's these experiences are very enriching, like hearing Ludwig's story. Think about how many times we order a margarita pizza and not understanding the background and back of that. By him going to Italy and getting this firsthand experience, he's able to bring that back and enrich our experience of what that whole concept is. Now, we cannot imagine what that tastes like, because it's not here. But and maybe there is. I don't know. Maybe you found a restaurant that produces.
No, it's not the same. Napoleon. It's so much better in Italy. You have be there.
But anyway, it you see this dialogue by people getting together, how they're enriching each other, and that's the purpose is to feel this possibility in neighborhood development, whether it's physical or whether it's emotional, whether it's to use the word spiritual, another reality of the humankind. It's an if you look for enhancement, enrichment, it's there, and our lives there's absolutely no reason to be depressed, because the world is so enriching, and the people that we have contact with from out around the world are incredible, and we're like Pauline said, we're there for each other. That's the whole purpose of the neighborhood. We're there for each other. Mm. And I think that's a very important concept.
Yeah, because before Nick here, my books in geography of at the University of Uppsala say that there are maybe hundreds of different kinds of meaning of the neighborhood vicinity or area where we live. So it could be, the researchers say, that it is a geographical area where people live and they share some common, infrastructure and so on inside this geographical zone, and they have a social interest together. So that is one part of our neighborhood. And also we have cyber neighborhood. We have online games where you are in a neighbors playing together.
Would you say that neighborhood and community is the same, or is it some difference in the definition?
There are probably some differences here. The researchers are grades of differences. But a neighborhood and vicinity, and you have a block. And in Sweden, the researchers say that typical Swedish, or maybe Norwegian also, neighborhood is consisting about 6,000 till 9,000 people for circular economic, where you can have a close relation to them. So in a city as Stockholm or Kiev or Oslo or London, probably we have a different blocks, and Hong Kong and New Delhi, then the typical neighborhood will be of 300,000, 500,000 in one. And the complexity increases, of course. It's easier to have to handle the neighborhood in a small city or suburb area. But that's the researchers' view of it. And a neighborhood is complex. The more larger city, the more complex it is. And we need all the insights we can have. And Nick, you can contribute to that.
Yeah, I'm going to just remembered when you mentioned like other cities, and when I went to Hong Kong, and one block of flats, which I could walk around fairly quickly, consisted of 40,000 people. They didn't have the space to eat there. You would just come and sleep there and then go away and work. But 40,000 people in one block, it's like crazy. And if you then were to divide that into like 6,000, that would be hard. But I want to reconnect a little bit to what you said also, the different dimensions of neighborhood and being like community or a network. And I want to share maybe, I'm going to share a few examples of this. One, which we're all here, or the three of us around the table here, Lude, Paulina, and myself involved in it, is a solidarity project which actually combines several of these neighborhoods. So this is an Erasmus Plus project that we applied for, and it's for young Europeans. And the whole idea of that is also to train young Europeans into the idea that Europe is your neighborhood, and you can find friends and entrepreneurship to connect and make a difference within this, very much also connected to democratic ideals and how do we reach out, but how do we also understand that we can work internationally cross country for different purposes together for the European values as per se. So we had the support to do a local project here in the neighborhoods of Sigtuna municipality, and we might expand that to the region of Stockholm as a kind of little larger neighborhoods or places within, we don't know yet. But then the idea of that is also that bringing activities together, and the other will fill in a little bit more about that, but bringing activities for migrants having come to a new neighborhood here, because often we've also found that when you're away from home, you get pacified and you don't know what to do because you don't have resources or space and you're worried, concerned what's happening. How do you fill that time? A little bit what you talk, DJ, as well, on how do you make that a meaningful time, and arts and creativities, which we are involved in, can be a part of that. And also at the same time, then having the solidarity like send out back to Ukraine. So what we do here, how could that potentially have rings on the water that via social media or digital support actually reach over there? So I just wanted to touch in a little bit on that and say, because we've just had a first few planning meetings. So for Ludwig and Paulina, just mention a few little things so far where we are at in our Erasmus Solidarity project with Sigtuna, Ukraine. Paulina, would you like to start?
Happy that I'm part of this project first. I think that people who participate in this project, they became a good team, which will organize nice, not only just project, but space. We were talking about the language cafe, because language is the way of communication, and especially now it's very important when you are in a different country and you need to communicate. Different people of our team speak different languages. Also, it's about support and more material things like protecting nets and that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yes, so one of my original ideas, or ours, rather, to connect Ukrainians with Swedish people and refugees, and also from other countries, but primarily Ukraine now, and to do this kind of language workshops or different workshops, including art, and it could be anything where we just paint together or write poetry or like crafting, because Ukrainians are good at handcrafts and Swedish too, and then they can learn language and play music, have fun, and find a sense of community for the Swedish people as well, and Ukrainians, because we're so similar, as you mentioned. So hopefully that will be something that we do soon. We're just starting to plan it now, and so we'll see what comes next.
And there's a lot of process here, which means you actually meet and you create together, but you're also thinking along different themes that then when that work is being carried out, we're going to document that and hopefully then stream or send or keep available on the net, so we could actually reach also over over to Ukraine or other parts. I just wanted to, because Lode, you at the same time as we're doing this solidarity project, you're also working in another project called Act in Art.
Yes. So another idea we had for this project was to incorporate some kind of researcher, just to make, if we can find, make a study that art and community really is beneficial for people, then we could present that to politicians or decision makers. That could make it like a more important place in your budget. And so I recently was in Tallinn with the Act in Art Network and met young artists and arts musicians and arts managers from the Baltic area, and we met and had a workshop for a week where we discussed how to be sustainable and through the arts, both mentally and for the whole world, and climate and everything. So we had different work groups, and we had to come up with a plan and a project plan. And my project plan was to present art and culture to decision makers in local areas, and potentially even bigger. So that they could be touched upon emotionally and not only understand everything that they read in like statistics on the paper, but they could actually see how war is affecting people's feelings and emotions. And so we would pick some artists to go in and present for the politicians and to make them feel the things that they are actually doing, not only So that's that, I think.
Mm. It's great to hear, because this is very important with the art connected with the community. And Erasmus, it's a 1 or 2 year project, as I understand. It's a long
term. It's a 1 year project now to start off, but it's the idea is to introduce young people to the world of Erasmus and exchange possibilities, because there's so many other things out there to connect people and to build community and neighborhoods across countries, also in a peace initiated motif.
So you cooperate with other non-governmental organizations as well, and you invite all in the neighborhoods, different, you start up in different neighborhoods here in Sweden, small scale, and
I mean, this is a single project per se that we're running here now, and there are many other opportunities and other people who are involved in that, and I see so many actually around Europe community centered art and more health projects. I'm personally working with another NGO now, where we start up right now. We are actually recruiting project management for a project in Malmö, which is neighborhood-based, but using the tool of play. And by play and providing space and community around that, rebuild the feeling of a neighborhood in socially challenged areas.
So this is something that the Grannskapspodden here in Sweden, we will research on this and find out more about this. How can they reach you, Nick, if they want to participate in your projects?
They could. That's a good question there, because I would like to say, well, just check up House of Story, but we're not really out on the internet yet. But you could always connect here to the Grannskapspodden and also the which is well connected to the George Graham Foundation webpage, and there's also contact details there, which you can get in touch with any of us around the table here.
Paulina, also, how can they reach you?
Okay, I'm available in all social networks, including TikTok. So maybe I can give my contacts to you.
And Lude, they can contact
you. We can list them below, maybe. And also you can contact Nick and any of these to contact me.
So if you are interested to hear about the project or wish to contact us, please call me, Harold, 073-641-5600, 073-641-5600. And you can contact us on grannskapspodden.se if you want to know more about our projects and Nick's project and Paulina and Ludus' project.
And I have a little trailer here for you, Harald, as an upcoming. Actually, I got two of them, and there'll probably be another part of that. But I'm just connected now to something called Culture for Health, European initiative, which I've also been trying to launch several of them, and I just checked in on a web page on different projects around Europe who is arts, culture and health centered on a neighborhood local setting, and there were more than 500 of them. So we have quite a few pods ahead if we're going to track through those or just do a little investigation of those. And we also have this upcoming performance that we're going to both play here in the neighborhoods of Sigtuna and hopefully in the region, the Cat's Eyes Tales or Solkattens Berättelser, which is also very much focused on art, culture and the power of story for mental and social well-being, in particular for children and young. But that goes for healing story, of course, helps and can be a support and tool for any of us.
We look forward for that one. Paulina, do you want to share something before we closing.
Okay, well, recently I participated in one of the projects connected pretty much with the neighborhood too, called Trax, in Gothenburg. The main idea of this project is to connect people by railway tracks and how people can communicate with each other, how people can make a project with each other, and those artistic project where artists from Ukraine and different countries worked in pairs and made a project. So it was pretty interesting.
Thank you. And Ludwig?
Love thy neighbor. No, I don't know.
Yes.
I think
we will. Thank you so much, Nick, and DJ here in the corner. And call me, Harold, 073-641-5600, if you want to reach out. And do you have some ideas for the next podcast program we are presenting to you later on? Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.